Happy Monday, beautiful people. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Friends. Welcome back, family. A lot of excitement in this energy or the show today, really, because this is the first new episode that we're doing on a new podcast host. I switched over. I'd been using podbean.com for the last 3 years. And I'm going to shout out Q on I Am She For Realzy podcast. You guys should check her out. She had me on the show last week, actually, and we're getting ready to do some work together over the next month. But she recommended anchor.com or anchor.fm, actually. And I made the switch. It was a really smart decision to do. A few things will change in the show, but for the most part, it's going to stay the same. Well, in terms of the hosting and things like that. But happy to make changes. Things are always growing and developing, and just want to stay on top of doing what feels best. All right, but today I'm super excited. More energy and excitement to share. It's 2:11, y'all. Oh, I just said that it was 1:11 minutes when I said 2:11, and it was 1 minute and 11 seconds. Y'all know me in numbers, the energy of 11 side by side. And in the 2 month, that's doubling up to the energy of 22. The woman that I have by my side today, sitting with me, that I'm going to share her energy with you all. Just a special woman in my heart and in my life. We met 6 years ago, perhaps, in the desert with young babies. And we weren't sleeping a whole lot, and she still isn't sleeping. And we met with a dual and joint love for plants and for trees, and had a really beautiful, you know, like almost like old school slow relationship gain over time. And we're back in the desert now. Jessica Allen is on the show today. Welcome, friend.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Man, yeah, we're here. We're here at the park. Our 6 children now, which when we first started out, we had 3 children between the two of us.
Yeah, we did. We doubled.
We doubled. Dang, that's crazy to even think about.
Yeah, kind of wild.
Yeah.
And they're here running and playing and enjoying the sunshine. It's gorgeous.
Beautiful day in the desert. Jessica, well, like I said, we moved back to the desert, as you guys know, almost a year ago now. It's almost been a year. And I know, it's crazy. And Jessica and her family were in the desert. And Jessica had changed quite a bit, though, by the time we came back. We came back to 1.5 babies. Almost a brand new baby came. And also had created or was creating in the middle of creating and had done a lot of work in creating her own business. So that's what we're bringing Jessica on to the show today to chat about, is the work that she has been building and to send a lot of high vibration and inspiration out to mamas all over. So I'm super happy, just on many levels, to have you here, friend.
Thank you so much. So the first thing is, who am I? And I'll tell you what, this is such a tough question. I struggled with this to answer it, which is so funny, because who I am is evolving and changing every minute, hour, you know, week, it seems. But in this moment, I'm a mama, of course, 3 babies, 6, 4, and 8 months. Mm. So I'm still in the thick of it with babyhood. We're still not sleeping and cutting teeth and, you know, all that fun stuff. And I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mamapreneur.
Mamapreneur. Say that one more time.
Mamapreneur.
Mamapreneur. Yeah. I like that. I've seen it written, but I never heard anyone say it.
Yes, yes. And I started Aster Earth. It'll be 5 years in March. And it's a small, I shouldn't even say small anymore.
No.
It's a company. We make all natural bath and body care, but it's actually becoming more of a brand because we promote local businesses. We work to promote different artisan events. And we just really have become so engaged in the community and building and working with fellow entrepreneurs. It's really this mamapreneurs. We're just bringing everybody together and really just building everyone up so that we can all reach our goals as a collective.
Yeah, I love how you already, you're so dope and so on point. She was like, let me go ahead and introduce myself. That was so dope. Like, look, this is who I am. I forgot to say it, and you had it down. Because I normally have my email, and I'm kind of just keeping my track. I'll get lost.
That's so
funny. But that's
funny.
How dope you are, though. That's how in tune 11 is, though. There we are.
Not so a little bit of background. My first podcast.
What? A little bit about background is side by side. We do this. That's super amazing. So Aster Earth is a brand. It really is. So you guys, you started making soap a long time ago, though. This is a skill that you've been using. And so I met you. You were working with plants, a sciencey type way of plants.
Yes.
And this is kind of who you are. You have this deep love for science and the discovery of things in that meticulous, maybe, or just precise way.
Yes.
So soap making is like that. And I didn't really know much about soap making, actually, until I met you, until you kind of told me some of your secrets. So we're going to talk more about Aster Earth and what Aster Earth is doing. But let's hear a little bit about your love for soap and just about soap and the chemistry of soap making. And you've given me a lot of philosophy behind it that takes it to a whole other level. And you really can't feel it when you use your soaps.
Thank you.
I know that a woman, a deep woman, anyways, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you've gotten to this level.
All right. So about 12 years ago now, I know it's been more than a decade. Time is so funny. It sort of just slips. But I met this woman who made homemade soaps, and I was in the shower. This is pre-mommyhood, and I was forgetful then too, and I didn't have anything to shave my legs with, and so I was like, I'll just use this soap, thinking for sure that I was going to end up with rashes and all these irritations, and it turned out to be the best shave ever, and I couldn't go back, so I bought a lot of soap from this woman over the course of like 2 years, and then she said, you know, I could teach you how to do this. So she brought me into her home one night. My husband and I went there, and we had pizza, and we made soap. Now, she uses a different process than I do, but she just kind of let me in onto how she does it and how easy it is. And at that time, she was making production soap, and I think we did a batch of like 150 bars or something like that at once. And I was sort of blown away, but she gave me 45 to take home. So I was stocked up. Anyway, fast forward to having a child, and Althea, my oldest, she came home from the hospital like day two, and she's red and irritated and blotchy, and I thought I broke her. I was like, I broke my baby. What did I do to her?
Especially first baby.
Oh, I had no idea what to do, and she was uncomfortable, and everything I used on her just made it worse. So we just did soap and water baths for the first 6 months. And then at 6 months, things get funky. They're crawling, they're eating. Like, you need to do something substantial for a bath. We just did regular water at first. And then I was like, okay, what am I going to use? So I went back to soap and went back to chemistry. And during this whole time, as you mentioned, I was working in the scientific aspect of plant studies. I managed a genetics lab at the Desert Botanical Garden. And so I thought, well, I can come up with something that would work. Like, I know enough about plant fatty acids, and I can make this work. So I made some soap.
So you, like, changed. You were looking to alter her recipe. You were looking
Exactly. Because I had dabbled in it throughout that whole time, in between her showing me and then me needing to come up with a solution for my daughter. But I was like, I really need to make this a rich, luxurious soap that has a lather that restores the moisture balance. Because if you've ever had a child with eczema, it's like flaky, red, irritated all the time. So I went back to that, and I made what's called a really high super fat level soap, which means the oils that are left over after saponification, which is the soap reaction of oil to solid soap,
That's the process of that conversion.
Yes, okay. That's the actual chemical reaction is the saponification, which I hate to even say chemical because it's, you know. But regardless, that's the reaction that you're looking at is saponification.
And does lye, is that what lye does?
Exactly.
Okay, because then you got to break down lye. I want to learn more about that too, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's it, and technically it's sodium hydroxide. That's mm-hmm. the chemical name for lye. Mm-hmm. And what it does is takes the oil from a liquid state to a solid, and in doing that, it creates the glycerin and the bubbles, and it creates a natural glycerin in that reaction. Mm. But in a homemade soap with someone who is a soap maker that knows what they're doing, there is absolutely no sodium hydroxide left. It's all reactant. And that's where the superfat level comes in. So I actually have 7% excess oils in my soap, which is the highest level you can do and still maintain a solid soap. And so all of the sodium hydroxide or the lye has reacted and there's with the oils, and there's still 7% oil left over after mine are solidified. So it just really feels good on the skin.
Man, anyway. It's the best lathering soap ever. And for you to say that, I was looking to create a soap that would have a lather that would moisturize after the wash. Man, that's so powerful. That takes Astro Earth to a whole other level for me in terms of the soap, because my favorite thing about Astro Earth is the lather. It's other than sitting next to it and feeling like I'm having aromatherapy in the shop, because we do carry her soap in the shop, guys. But man, that lather. And so that was what you were trying to create. That was the goal.
Yeah. Boom. And then to keep, you know, soy and canola and all these GMO and funky palm. We don't use palm oils. Mm-hmm. Keep all the funky oils out of the soap. So we use a base of coconut, olive, avocado, grapeseed, and sunflower seed.
So I have to ask, just because you said that the saponification is it going from liquid to solid, mm-hmm. coconut oil is not... Because coconut oil can go from liquid to solid. Is there something similar in those two interactions or totally separate?
Well, I think with coconut oil, it's just the temperature. Mm-hmm. So with the saponification, it's actually, it's a solid no matter what the temperature. I imagine you could take it up above like 130 or something, it would melt. But yeah, I don't know that those two things are necessarily related. Although the coconut oil does help with the lather. So okay. Yeah, that's a big one.
Okay.
Anyway, so I use this soap on my daughter, and when you make a batch of soap, you have a bunch of extra. And so I gave some out to some people. And in a couple months, everyone was like, hey, could I buy some of that from you, or could you make me more? And then I realized, hey, maybe this could be a thing. Like, I could maybe do this. And then it sort of grew into that after I decided to stay home with the birth of my second. I was like, oh, I'm not going back to work in the lab. It was a bittersweet decision.
Yeah.
It was beautiful because I got to focus on my children, but there was certainly a scientific aspect of my mind that was antsy to get back to work. Mm.
Get back in the lab.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just created a lab.
Also, this is major kitchen. Your lab. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. And so that's what I've been doing, just kind of sharing soaps. And it's grown into a business now. We are, we've done, I don't know, 15 different states we've done shows in. I think that's what we're up to. And we ship out to 20 plus states. So
yeah. I want to talk about the road trip and hear a little bit about that, because I think that other moms will be inspired by hearing how you're growing this.
Yeah.
So you are a master pie crust maker as well. I do remember that. And I remember you especially telling me, and this was, you know, one of those things, there's so many things that I've fallen in love with you, or that I have made me be in love with you over the years. But there's little things that you'll say about your perspective of life that I'm like, that's what makes her a special, you know, human to me, that from my heart. And your thing about pie crust is definitely one of them, in terms of the energy that you have when you're making your crust. A lot of people don't think about energy on those levels and recognize that your energy when you're doing something, when you're creating something, really matters in the way it feeds someone, and the way it nourishes someone, or even the way that it turns out. So you can maybe talk a little bit more about that. And then also, I'm interested, is that also affect your soaps, though?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So my theory on pie crust is this. I've been making pies since I was, I don't even know. My grandma raised me making pies, you know.
Go,
like,
grandma.
In the kitchen.
Go, grandma.
Like, I remember being maybe two and rolling out pies with her.
Wow.
Three. Like, she had the big wooden board she'd get out and put on the table, and we'd flour it up and roll the pie dough out.
And this is probably like with freshly picked summer berries, too, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Man.
Yum.
Mm.
So, but as an adult, my theory on pie crust is that it's all about what you're feeling at that time. I taught my mom how to make a great pie crust, believe it or not, which is funny that it skipped a generation.
Mm-hmm.
But
your mom was like, I don't have time.
My grandma was teaching me, and my mom was out working.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know,
holding it down.
One of my friends told me that that's normal in most cultures, that grandma raises her daughter's children. And because a mother really isn't ready to be a mother until she's a grandma. So it's funny how you see that translate in so many different situations.
That's,
you know,
so
like,
true.
Mom has to run out, and grandma is the one who steps up. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, and there we were, making pie crust.
Making pie crust.
So my theory, I remember teaching my mom, I said, whatever you're doing, you know, you make the crust, and as you're making it, you just think positively. You think good thoughts. Whatever makes you happy, go to your happy space. But the real key with pie crust, if you've ever made a pie, is the moment you're rolling it out. And everything can just go south in a heartbeat.
Really?
And then it's all crumbly, or it's like all sticky, and you're just like, what am I doing here? The key with a good pie crust is you gotta just stay positive the whole time. And you gotta put your positive energy into this pie crust when you're rolling it out. It is so important.
You have to believe it's gonna turn out.
You have to believe it's gonna turn out. And you gotta think about things that make you happy too.
Mm.
Be it the person you're making the pie for, or whatever it is, you have to really put the love into it. And it truly is one of those things with pie crust for me. So the soap, even more so. There's a point when you're making soaps that you have to literally, in my protocol, I stir the oils for 5 minutes. And as I'm doing that, I send blessings out to everyone who's going to use this soap, everyone who lathers up with this soap. Just blessings, blessings, blessings. And it is with every single batch. That's what I do. And I've had batches, honestly, I haven't been in the right headspace, and I've had batches flop. I'm like, no, everything was perfect. Chemically, everything was perfect, and it didn't turn out. So I know now, like, you got to put whatever it is to the side and just focus on the soap and the positive energy and all the beautiful people that are allowing me to do this as my business. So and supporting me on this journey.
That's beautiful, because it sounds like that's even how you came to the original recipe, because you had your energy for the healing of your daughter in it. And so you figured out a way to make, at 7%, that's pretty precise. Like, you know, that's pretty precise. And that takes a lot of either practice and trial and error, or good juju that's focused on making it work for your baby, you know. So just, that's beautiful. And didn't the name Aster Earth kind of, I don't remember exactly, but didn't, where did that name come from? I slightly remember a story. It's your baby's.
So Asteraceae is the most cosmopolitan plant family on the planet, which means it's on 6 of 7 continents.
Wow.
It's not on Antarctica, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And so Aster is from Asteraceae, meaning it's for everybody. It's for all of us. And Earth, from the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other interpretation of the name is Aster as the North Star, and then you have Earth as planet Earth. So you have the sky and the Earth unified in one. So.
Boom! I love it.
It took me a long time to come up with the name. Actually, I think you remember that journey. Oh, I don't know. Nothing really feels right. And then somehow this came about, and it was,
And you knew
special.
It, too. Yeah, you knew it was right.
I did. I just felt it. And I was like, this is it. So.
Shoot. All right. Well, Aster Earth, really some amazing soap. And you started this at home with 2 young children. You now have 3 young children. And you're still at home, and you're moving around a lot, though. You are growing, and probably growing into facilities here really soon to get out of your home. But you move around with the soap a lot. And when we were in Portland, this was last year? Was it last year?
2 summers ago.
I'll say that was the biggest year ever. Yeah, no, 2 years.
Yeah, two years.
Last summer we were together.
Last summer I had a newborn. Yeah. So there wasn't any traveling.
Yeah, no, that's been 2 years now.
Newborns aren't very conducive to road trips, as luck would have it.
Unless you have to do it.
Unless you have to do it. Yeah.
We're going to make it work.
Yeah.
Actually, you know,
true.
We drove with Naya 7 weeks from Portland to Arizona. I'll never forget that.
Oh, my goodness. But
she really just slept, you know. But so Astro Earth is all over the place. And you didn't just sit in Phoenix to make that happen.
No.
You decided to take your product and your farmer's market booth setup around the country and spread this product around the country. So, like, that's super dope. Everything about, you know, road tripping and doing that is amazing experience for the children, everything. So maybe you could talk just a little bit to the moms that are listening. I have a lot of moms that tune into the show. Stay-at-home mom, 3 babies, 2 babies maybe at the time, well, 2 babies at the time, with passion and desire to make an income for yourself on your own. You got in the truck and you hit the road. How can other women be excited and, you know, charged to do something like that too?
Sure. That's a great question. The biggest thing I think is you just have to find something you're really passionate about, that you really feel you need to share your message with others. It's going to help others. And that was truly what my road trip was all about, was just, everywhere I go, people have skin issues. People have problems adapting to the environment or their diet or whatever's going on. They're everywhere I go. And I just felt like I have something that can make a difference. I want to share this. So, yes, we packed it up and we were on the road for the end of May until mid-October, off and on. We would come back to Phoenix for a week or two, do a show up north, and then back on the road. So it was an amazing summer. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But we touched a lot of people. We met a lot of people. We dispersed a lot of product from California to Pennsylvania to Vermont, you know, all over. Mm-hmm. And it was the best experience. But it was not the easiest.
Mm-hmm. 2 babies. I think I remember you saying you were driving into Phoenix nobody had any pants on or something. But you made it home.
Yes. So that was our trip that we did from Phoenix all the way to Vermont. And that was a crazy trip. But it was a 3-week duration. And we were coming back in the middle of June and it's hot. And my son had peed himself for the last time. I had no clean underwear left because we were almost home. We were driving into Phoenix. I was like, I'm not doing laundry in a hotel. Forget that. No, we are going home. And there we are, peeing naked as can be, and we're pulling into the mountains, you know. You know that drive into Phoenix, right? Like, in the mountains, and we're
just got to get over these
and
mountains.
And there's peeing. He was having a ball. He could care less that he was naked. We just couldn't get him out at the gas station, so he had to stay in the car.
But you got home.
But we got home.
Yeah.
Because you just can't quit. That's the reality. When you're passionate enough about something, you feel it in your soul to a point where if you don't keep going, if you don't share what your message, if you don't rise to what your intended role is, you feel like it's burning inside of you. Like, I have to do this. It's almost like you don't even have a choice in it. I just have to do it. I have to make it happen. Mm.
So passion is really, that's really what drove you, is what you're saying. That's really what got you on the road and what moved you there. And you just took your babies with you. It wasn't even a thing.
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't. And they adapted. They loved it. They loved it. The irony is, though, we stayed in hotels along the way, which I won't do that again. Now we'll get an RV. The irony is, though, they love hotel soap. It's like a treat. Are you kidding me right now?
They love hotels in general,
They
love hotel soap. Yeah.
They love hotels in general, mostly because of the free garbage food breakfast.
Those waffles, what?
Yes. And the hotel soap, which makes me cringe, but for some reason, here we are at the hotel with like 2,000 bars of soap packed in our truck. Mm. And my kids are like, look, mommy, it's a hotel soap.
The paper wrapped ones.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the last few years, the soaps, the hotel soaps have been getting better or like becoming more natural. I feel like
they
there's more coconut
made a transition.
Oil. Yeah, they're trying.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys are, you soap makers are getting into those hotels.
We are. We are. Exactly. We're becoming competitive as far as being able to match the big companies, I guess.
Is that one of our children screaming over and over again?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm trying to get eyes on them. No, they're right there. I see Althea's tights. And there's Petey. So I know you're, yeah. Yeah, they're
like
all together. There's
screaming.
Naya.
They're at the park. It's a beautiful day out here. Mom and work life. And that's really what it's kind of all about. Yeah, we're good. I got okay. it. Yeah, let's just go into that a little bit more because, man, you know, when we were in Portland, that was kind of my thing. Was I really ready to leave the house to start working? And I did with the juice cart for a little under a year, and it was really hard. And I had to come back home and say, you know, I have to create something here for myself at home. Because balancing that mom and work, mom, what's it, mompreneur?
Mompreneur.
Mompreneur. Yeah. we need to get that in the dictionary.
Right.
Balancing the mompreneur life, or, well, let's just specifically talk about that because I don't want to, by talking about something, it's not taken away from something else. Working moms that go to other jobs or have careers that are outside of the home, this is definitely a part of it. And I think that anything we talk about here is, a part of your lifestyle as well, but specifically for the mompreneur, because I feel like that's what we're representing now, specifically.
Definitely.
That group. It's a lot though, because you're working at home and you're with your children all the time and trying to tune into your creative beast inside. And our children light us up, you know, like our children force us to do this.
Yeah.
So here you are in this environment, of everything and your deepest love and abilities are called upon, and man, it's quite an experience. So maybe we can just talk a little about, you know, taking how you created your business. What can we share with moms, new moms? What kind of advice do we have that we can share with new moms in this work-life balance?
Oh man. I'm still figuring it out, honestly.
That's the first most important thing, actually, I think, to share with a new mom, too.
Yeah.
I think, like, you just opened it perfectly.
I am definitely still on the path to figuring out how to create that balance. For me, a lot of it has been accepting willing help. And this is something that's just come to me in the past months. There are a lot of people out there that want to support you in your journey, be it, you know, come and make you something that you need for your booth setup or someone to help take the kids for an hour so you can actually focus. You have to rely on those connections and really be okay with allowing the help to flow in. The balance, gosh. I don't sleep much, as you shared. So
accepting,
definitely. My
embracing, even would you say? Do you embrace your lack of sleep?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Hug it.
I get a little wacky, but I even sent you a text last night. What was it, like 1:30? And I'm
late.
Like, I take comfort in the fact that I'm not alone. I know you're awake too.
I was. I'll wait for a couple more hours too.
But my normal day, my night, consists of putting the kids to sleep and then starting.
Boom.
Like, that's when I start my work, from 9 till 1 or 9 to 2 or, you know, 9 to whenever the work is done. So really it's about carving out that time for yourself and finding it. And even if it is in the wee hours of the morning, find it and relish in it and grow in it and make it work for you.
And commit to it too, right?
Commit to it.
Because what you just said sounds like my night. Like when I put my children to sleep, their father usually isn't home because he's working. And so it's just me. And I literally go into decompression mode. I decompress for about an hour always every day. I just give myself an hour to just decompress. Oh, I don't actually know if I can push pause on this one either. Oh, that was a run through. Sorry, one of the children just ran past it. That was so cute. Even want to talk to you. But loving that you said that, though, like that, you know, you put the children to sleep and then your time starts. And so every night for you, you know, if there's almost like, I even find myself sometimes maybe a little bit too excited, but it's like, you know, excited to get them to sleep so that we can get to work.
Yeah, there's this moment of like, I don't know how yours are, but mine are still in the phase of like, hey, mom, I need a drink. Hey, mom, I need this. Hey, mom. Yeah. And there is a point of like, you need to go in the room and go to sleep. That's going to happen right now.
I don't know if you got the time change, but it's now my time.
Yeah, right?
We did clock in.
Did you miss the memo on that, children?
Yeah. 9:30. Sorry, sweetie. But it's real. Yeah, they're still doing that. They're trying, but I'm getting more serious about you've had
6 cups of water now. And that means 6 more trips to the bathroom.
we did it. We got it all in. But I love that, though, that you know. And so as you're preparing your day, it's like, I'm going to go to my other job almost. It's you look at it.
Exactly.
So it's this commitment. It's passion. I agree with you first. And then what did you just start off this one with? Oh, you're not
I'm
really sure.
I'm still learning.
Yeah, not being sure. Being open to learning.
Yes.
And then being committed to being open to learning and to feeding yourself through your passion.
Yeah.
Because, and for me, that's really what self-care is as a mom now. I feel like, you know, you hear that a lot, especially when your babies are young. And so you're probably hearing it a lot. Well, make sure are you taking care of yourself, or make sure, and the community is, and community too, that I feel like that's what you were saying is you need community, or
yes,
that you allowed the community in.
Yes, exactly.
And the community tries to show up and, you know, mama, are you taking care of yourself? And you're like, well,
haven't slept in a while. I think I ate a meal today.
I'm breathing.
Yeah.
I'm still nursing my baby,
My kids eat 3 meals a day. I think I ate.
You know,
like, we've talked about that too. We're like, I'm here. Yeah.
We made it through another night.
But there is something to that, I feel, when you connect with your passion, that is how you love on yourself, is continually coming back to that and growing in that and thriving within that. And that's what that magic nighttime is for me, you know, that time of like, okay, I'm going to really, really connect with self and connect with what my passions are in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just best done when everyone else is asleep.
It is. And, you know, for some women, it's out of the home, or it's a job, or it's a, you know, a community organization or whatever it is. But the thing is to just find what it is that feeds you and then allow it to feed you.
Yeah.
And it needs your attention and your time in order for it to do that. So I definitely want to put out to, especially new moms or moms with young children, you know, you're not going to know always what it's supposed to look like, but if you just keep going forward, so basic, it's so like, this is so juvenile almost in terms of like advice, but it's so real. If you just keep going forward, giving your attention to the things that feed you, that make you feel best, which primarily it's probably your children and yourself, and whatever, you know, things you enjoy for yourself. So like your babies are probably going to be, they might even be before you in those beginning years, but that's okay. Find a way to give yourself to the things that make you feel good. And for me, that really is what self-care looks like, especially for mamapreneurs who are pushing themselves to create something from nothing, you know, in all of this. Did that make sense?
That made complete sense, yeah. In fact, you often tell me step by step, and that was just exactly what I think that embodies is one foot in front of the other. Don't stop. Just keep following whatever that passion is, whatever you feel that path is. Just keep walking towards it. And some days it may feel like you haven't made any progress, or in fact you step backwards a couple of steps. But just keep on the path, and it will unfold. It really will.
And you got to be easy on yourself, mamas, because that step-by-stepness, like when it comes to raising our babies in those beginning years, especially mamapreneurs out there, you got to just allow yourself the time and the space to get through those moments, because a baby is a baby, a newborn, an infant. That first couple years, the first 5 years, they go so fast. And before you know it, you're going to have children. I tell this often to women, you're going to have children before you know it, that you can say, go brush your teeth, get your PJs on and get in the bed. And they're just going to do it. And it will actually happen. You're going to get there. It doesn't make
sense. I've been there. And then I started over.
Yeah. I am a proponent of back-to-back babies, honestly. But you did it close enough. You still did 3 and 5.
Yeah. 3 and 5. 3 and like 5 and a half. So yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, beasts. Ugh. The beasts of the world.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, we weren't playing.
Hey. But I mean, and honestly, that too, though. I mean, I feel like there's something to that, like having your young children close to each other. It's really helpful for mama.
Yes.
Can maybe be really hard too. But to have it kind of all close together. And the thing is that the children are such good friends too. They're so close in age. But
that's very true. Yeah, they do. They keep each other busy. A lot.
Yeah. Shoot. What was the conversation at just there? Mamapreneurs. Just take it easy, mamas. Go step by step and have faith that as your babies get older and bigger and stronger, and because you're pouring into them at levels when they're little, that is actually going to help them be more self-sustained when they get older, and that you're able to focus more on yourself. So just putting the energy out to the mamapreneurs out there. There are women out here that are doing it. I'm watching them do it step by step. It's very real. I don't know. It's just super empowering to me.
Mm. I remember before I started just wanting so much to be at home with my babies. And that's not everybody's path. I understand some women thrive best having that space and being outside of the home and saying, you know, these are my work hours. But I remember living the life of going to work outside of the home and wanting so much to have something that would leave me, that would allow me to be at home with them. Allow me to be at home with them and enjoy them fully. And I remember thinking, how can I do this? And racking my brain and trying to come up with what would work best. And what I think happened in the end is it all sort of fell into place. And now that I'm reflecting, I spent all that time and energy trying to figure out how I could have a business at home when it was already sort of all there. Mm. I just had to wait until the timing was right for it to be revealed.
Yeah. And think about it too, I imagine, because I would imagine that probably fed you a little bit in those early days, like just dreaming of having a home business and being at home. And, you know, for me, my dreams really feed me.
They do. They do.
They feed me more than I should let them sometimes, but but my dreams really feed me, and I would imagine that was also extremely motivating and inspiring for you.
It was. It definitely was. I think that's what kind of kept me those late nights up, you know, knowing that I'd have to get up at 6 and go to work and work in the lab and, you know, being up with the baby because she was, for whatever reason, that night decided not to sleep. And those late nights of just sitting in the rocking chair like, trying to calculate a way to make that change. So definitely, it keeps you going. It's inspiration.
Man. Well, so you guys, you started the business. You've now traveled around the country with it. Yeah. You guys got home and then you decided that, well, making soap in Phoenix is not enough for me. I need to do more because you're my friend.
Yes.
Hello. We are doers.
We are.
So then you decided that you wanted to start a local market and perhaps have your soaps there, but really now become the supporter and the promoter and a space holder for other mamapreneurs and other daddypreneurs and other entrepreneurs that are living their dream, they're following their hearts, they're pushing themselves, they're, you know, these are the most inspiring people to me on the earth, the adults who could just choose to go get a job, try to not do that, and follow their hearts. It's not for everybody, but people like you give those folks spaces. So you started Odyssey in the Odyssey Craft Market?
Odyssey Artisan Fest. Odyssey Artisan Fest. In the desert.
Let's hear about this because we just did one this weekend, yesterday together. And this event has been going on now 2 seasons. And you're just amazing, Mama.
Like, thank you.
So you came home and you were like, let me just come and start a farmer's market.
Well, I had seen a lot. So on that time that we were traveling, I did shows that were, you know, that were like 20 vendors, and then I did shows that had 500 vendors. Wow. I did, you know, and those bigger shows had hundreds of thousands of people attending them. So what I noticed in all of these shows was there was something kind of missing here in Phoenix. And what was missing is a show that creates a place for art, community, music, and everyone to interact in a safe space that's approachable. I felt like that was really missing here. And the biggest thing I noticed, too, is a lot of promoters don't respect their vendors. They don't have that love for them. It's kind of just this, like, oh, yeah. It's almost like you're an annoyance to them.
Like, you should be lucky you get a booth.
Exactly. Yeah. As opposed to the gratitude, like, the vendors are the reason the event happens.
Yeah.
So I came at it with a whole different perspective. Let's create this place for art and the locavore movement and community to interact. And let's just be thankful to the vendors and treat them right. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I didn't know where I was going to do it. I didn't have a space. And I looked and I looked and I interacted with some people in different areas and it just didn't work out. It didn't jive. And I remember this day so vividly. I was driving down Pima Road, which those of you who are in Phoenix, you probably know where that is. And I looked out on the horizon and I told the universe, I said, listen, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. I need a venue. And it was that week. My contact from Odyssey emailed me, and he got my information from the city of Scottsdale, and he said, yeah, I was wondering if you were interested in putting together something here on our property. And that was the first season. We started last year in January, and we've just been going strong. So.
Wow. And so so your idea was, man, to just treat vendors well. That's really a big difference. But you noticed out on the road that that wasn't something normal.
I'll tell you what, I have done shows where I've paid a lot of money to be there as a booth fee, and I never met the promoter. Mm. They never even came to my booth. I didn't know who they were. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to show appreciation and to show gratitude to everyone involved in the event. And in doing that, it grows and it flourishes and it attracts all the right people.
Mm. That's really cool. Are there any other artisan markets in town either? Like, all of them are really associated to farms and farmers, right? Or are there...
There are a few others. Gilbert Art Walk is kind of the biggest one, okay. And that's first and third Saturdays. That's been around for 6 years.
Wow, okay.
And that is associated with the farmers market, though, okay. In that it's right beside it. It's, like, across the street.
Because that's different. I feel like, you know, food... People come out for food, people go out for grocery shopping, like that's a different attraction, farmers market. But having it be just artists and vendors, you know, with their creations, that's a whole different vibe.
It is.
I feel like it's a really different vibe at the market, at the Odyssey market. So Gilbert and...
There are plenty, I think, sprinkled throughout, but Gilbert is the main one, mm-hmm. I think. And then there are some others that happen, you know, spring and fall, and I'm sure there are plenty I'm missing out because it's such a huge city. There's always something going on, you know. But I truly feel that was what I brought to the table was just something where, like I said, you got to treat people right, and that's so important in any business. So
I think that from mamapreneur to boss mama is probably the upgrade that's happening in 2019 for you because I don't know if you've ever listened to Damon Dash the. Old school, yeah. He's been coming out a lot recently with a lot of entrepreneurial type talk, and he talks a lot about the fact that some people are okay with being employees, and some people are not okay with being employees, and you know, for some youth, like a man like Damon, he got this really young. He learned this lesson in his teenage years. His parents, his community taught him this. Maybe even he himself was just born, you know, bred with this. But I feel like it takes some of us, and maybe even women, longer to understand that, you know, at times, to even have the confidence. But, you know, that's, you're beyond mamapreneur, though, because for you to have the confidence to go out and create your own soap business, but then decide that you wanted to open that opportunity to other artisan artists and artisan craft creators. That's boss moves, babe.
Thank you.
That's a boss move. That's like, I can't work for anyone. And matter of fact, I'm going to employ people. So yeah, that's boss, what do we call it? Mama boss. Boss mama.
Yeah.
Boss mama.
No doubt. Boss first. I feel that each day. I feel that happening, in this journey. I feel myself coming into that more and more. So, and really it's a journey of confidence and believing in yourself too, fully, and being like, yeah, I guess I am in charge here. Mm-hmm. I guess I do know what's going on.
And do you feel like children, like what part of children were, or what part did children hold in preparing you for that?
I often tell people my 20s were all about just having fun and enjoying myself and enjoying life. But I wasn't necessarily sure of myself or where I was headed or what I was doing or what my purpose was. And then I had Althea when I was 29, my oldest. And I think something clicked in my 30s. And it just became this feeling of like, I've been here long enough. I'm here guiding other humans, small humans, keeping them alive, taking care of them.
Keeping them alive.
Right?
Every day.
That's the goal.
Every day.
That's the goal. Every day. Yes.
Check.
There's this confidence that comes from that. Like, yeah. I brought these children into the world and I'm caring for them and they're healthy and they're thriving. And in doing that, I think I found myself and my own calling, and I continue to do so. I feel they teach me way more than I teach them, or at least it's even on both sides, you know? So.
What a gift motherhood really is, you know? Like to the earth, I feel a mother born to love another being unconditionally for her. To wake up and love another person before you love yourself, like that's a gift to the entire earth, all of the earth family. But to recognize the gift that motherhood is actually to the woman who is becoming the mother is so intense. And it's like you all of a sudden respect all of the mothers of time. Like,
yes.
Wow, women have been, and this is not to say that men are not massive co-creators in family and in society, and fatherhood is just as poignant and life-changing, I would imagine. I'm just not a dad.
Yeah.
So I can't speak on that. But the moms in my sphere, y'all are just the dopest women ever. And I'm sure I would have felt similar energies from you in our 20s. Like, these are my girls. These are cool. But I'm thankful that I met you all when you're mothers, because it's just this instant recognition of, I want to support this woman. I want to encourage and support her, because the love that she has within her is really, really just needed. You know, I don't even know what word other than just needed. We really need to support and encourage and love on our mamas, the moms around us. Because honestly, like the gift of motherhood for the woman can be world changing. We really can change the world through our mothers, by providing them the space and the inspiration to go out there and create it on their own. Yo, we can change the world. Not even can, I mean, we do. That's what mothers do.
Yeah.
And it's just really knowing that and aligning with that and living in that focus. Man, we're the bomb, you know?
It's true. No doubt. Yeah. I often think just a small way to do that, which I've started to practice, is you can always tell when you're in the grocery store and there's this mom that's like, and I've been there. I've been that mom where your kids are acting crazy and they're hanging off of stuff in the store and you're just like, ah. And those are the moms that I'm always like, hey, and I touch their arm. You are doing such a good job. Mm. You are rocking it.
Like, I'm so happy you do that.
You have to. It's so important. And you just see their whole demeanor change. They go from like deflated, frustrated mom that's about to just melt down to like, all right, you're right, I got this. It's huge. And so just small things like that. I think recognition is huge in motherhood and feeling like feeling like you're noticed. Like, hey, yeah, people do notice I'm doing this and I'm doing the work. Mm. Like, yeah, so.
Well, and imagine too if like that is a normal thing of our past where grandmothers raised babies more, you know, like where that happened a lot in indigenous populations perhaps. That would mean that there's probably something wired within a lot of us at the age in your 30s and 20s that isn't really all the way ready to be a mother, maybe, you know, and I don't want to say that no, that's yeah. not, but like perhaps there's some level to us that without this community that we've had as mothers for so many generations of humanity. Oh, shoot, I'm going to have to get some water.
I don't have
any. I don't either. I asked Safari to bring some, but he hasn't got here yet. We're going to push through. The universe wants me to stop.
Where were we? We were talking about just this idea of grandma. Community and grandmas community, and, yeah. and the support that that we need. And in essence, because we're now being flung all over the planet away from those blood ties, the blood family, it's like we have to create our own families where we are. And I truly think that's part of my connection with you. I would have never guessed 6 years ago when I saw you at that birthday party, that you'd be my family. That, you know, here I am in Arizona, and I would make family. So,
or that I would have a cough attack the day we decide to record our podcast outside in the beautiful park. Yeah, you know, I feel like the same, but then at the same time, I knew though too. We spent the first 6-7 months or year, or I don't even know how long
just
it really
emailing.
Was. It was a while.
Yeah.
Just emailing back and forth and just writing yeah. paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs to each other like we were schoolgirls.
I know. It was so special. It was really magical.
It was really special. And I think for both of us at the time, we were both learning how to, because motherhood does do so much for you, we were learning how to be ourselves
yeah.
and how to be the women we were actually born to be and accept and love other women for who they were born to be and learn how to have strong female relationships and bonds in our lives. But it's also really hard to make friends as adult women. It's not always
yes.
easy.
Yes. Especially when you have children.
Especially
you're
when you
like,
have children.
Yeah. You're on their schedule, ultimately. So it's this sense of like, okay, you know, they come first. They come first.
And just all this other heavy stuff between women, too, you know, like,
yeah.
it's not easy, but we took our time.
We did. And sometimes it would be, you know, there I am laying with 6-month-old Althea on my chest in the bed, typing to you on my phone, typing email responses.
I loved getting those emails.
It was the best. It was really magical.
It is. And so. It's really magical that we're back in the desert together
yeah.
and that we're both mompreneurs. And I'm working on my boss status. I'm on my way towards that. I'm building up. Hmm. But, you've been a
super inspiration
in my life, especially just this last year being back in the desert, being able to have someone in my close sphere, like right here in town too. You know, we weren't, when we were in Portland, it's distance, but like you're somebody who I can see that is doing it, man, that is following her passion, that's pushing herself, and that's not letting anything get in her way. And it means so much to me, and that's really why I wanted to bring you on the show for all the reasons, but to just make sure I gave your inspiration and your energy a platform to be shared, because it
Thank
means
you.
Something in my life. And I know that it will help inspire other mamas as well. Mm. It is definitely magical, man. And here we are, not even close to like barely getting started.
I know. I feel like we really just the tip of the figurative iceberg, right?
I think toddlers, did we say yesterday? I was talking to you, I feel like, or...
Yeah.
I feel like I'm about at a toddler age.
Yeah, exactly.
I can walk.
Exactly. Yeah.
But my head is still a little bit too big.
A little wobbly. Yeah.
A little wobbly.
You still got the overgrown feet you got to grow into.
But feeling good.
Yes.
Happy.
Yes. Excited about life. And curious.
Oh, curious, excited, ready to discover. Yeah. I don't think I ever want to get older than 12 again and just stay in this... this energy of this excitement for being alive. So we'll be toddlers again, and we'll get your little one to a toddler and just keep doing it, Mama.
Yes, so blessed. We are so, blessed.
Tell the people where they can find you at, social media, your webpage, things like that, maybe even markets in town.
Sure. So I am at Gilbert Art Walk every first and third Saturday. You can come and check out, smell all the smells, have a lovely chat with me. I do various events as well, just depending on the month and the day. So you can check that out on my website, astroearth.com, and just click on events. It'll show you what my schedule is. And then you can also check out all the lovely products. We have two online. I'm on Facebook as AstroEarth and Instagram at AstroEarth. So check it out.
And if you're in Phoenix or in Scottsdale, come on out to Odyssey Artisan Fest every other Saturday. Yes. We'll be back out there February 23rd.
Yes.
From 10 to 2. Lots of great things going on there. Anything else?
I think that's it. I think we covered it.
Big blessings, big peace and love, out to the mamapreneurs and to the sphere. And friends, we will be back. I'll be back next week. I love y'all. Have a beautiful week. Peace.